Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now so you can be a part of the broadcast, so you can pose your questions or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. So we invite your calls now to 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. We want to hear from you, so don't wait until later in the broadcast when we're out of time. Call right now. 1-800-677-9377. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's day three of the 28-day forgiveness challenge. We're going to look at a very interesting story recorded for us in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 2. It's the story of the paralytic. And Jesus is teaching inside of a house, and it's just packed wall to wall, and folks are just hanging on every word. And all of a sudden, these four guys show up, and they have their friend, the paralytic, with them, and they're carrying him on a stretcher. And their hope is to get him inside in front of Jesus so that Jesus can perform a miracle. Well, there's no way. People are just bursting out the seams of that particular house. There's no way for them to get in. But they are not to be deterred. They climb up on top of the roof. They dig out a hole, and they lower the paralytic down. And when Jesus saw this guy, he looked right at him and said, "My son, your sins are forgiven." That's just incredible that he would say that. The paralytic didn't ask for that. The paralytic didn't say anything. Jesus just looked at him and said, "My son, your sins are forgiven." And then that caused a stir. There was a lot of teachers of the law, religious leaders there, and they started thinking, just quietly, who is this guy? I mean, only God has the authority to forgive sins, but yet here a mere man is claiming to have that authority. He's blaspheming. And Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he called them on it. And he said, "You know, I'd said this because I wanted to show you that me, the Son of God, has authority to forgive sins here on earth." And I think this is a very significant story as it relates to forgiveness. Oftentimes we look at forgiveness from a human perspective, but forgiveness is a God thing. He is the originator of forgiveness. Just as God is the God who gives, God is the God who forgives. And he forgives us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus, who is God in the flesh, looks at us and says, "Your sins are forgiven," that's exactly what he means.
Yeah.
And he can say that because he has the authority and the power to forgive sins. And he did that once and for all who have come to know him by faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. That's Basic Gospel, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast today. We want to hear from you. Want you to be a part of it at 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open. All the time remaining on the clock, so a great opportunity. If you have something you want to discuss, if you've had something that's been troubling you and you've just been reluctant to call, well, go ahead and call right now. 1-800-677-9377. That's good and toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada, 800-677-9377.
Well, guys, Andrew Farley is supposed to be joining us today. And, Andrew,
yes.
Are you there? Yes.
Hello there.
Yeah, what a great story that is. You tell the story of Jesus, and you just think about how they would have thought, we got to go out and sacrifice some animals if you're going to talk forgiveness. But Jesus can make the call, and it's really all about Christ. It's not about animal sacrifices or us doing something for God. When Jesus says you're forgiven, boy, you're forgiven.
Indeed. And I think about that when Paul kind of later in his writings to the church at Ephesus and to the church at Colossae says that we are to forgive as God in Christ has forgiven us. And I think this story is the seminal story for that picture. Jesus took the initiative. He didn't wait for the guy to repent of every sin. He didn't wait for the guy to ask or beg or plead or any of those sort of things. He just looked right at the guy, looked him in the eye, and said, "My son, your sins are forgiven." That's how God forgives us. He took the initiative. He sent Jesus. He so loved us that he sent Jesus. He so loved us that he forgave our sins, not just some of them, but all of them. And when we take our stand in that forgiveness, when we find our place in that forgiveness and rest right there with hearts full of thanksgiving, when folks wrong us, we can take the initiative in their lives. We can reach out and say, you know, I forgive you for this. And that extension of grace, just as God extended grace to us in forgiveness, is what moves our hearts to change, to be thankful, to that point of repentance. And that's how it works. God's grace, God's kindness leads us to repentance. And if we'll get that straight, then this whole forgiveness thing will fall into place.
Yeah, and you know, there's so much controversy today over forgiveness. It's very much like what it was 2,000 years ago. I mean, you know, you tell some Christians today that they're totally forgiven of all their sins, and they'll actually get mad about it, or they'll want to hedge the comment a little bit. They'll want to temper the forgiveness a little bit. It's almost as if we want God to hijack or hold back some of the forgiveness in case we get way out of line, then he can threaten us in some way subtly. So it's very hard for us. It was hard for the Pharisees and the Jews of that day to hear Jesus say, you know, your sins have been forgiven. It's still, Bob, I mean, it's still hard for us today as humans to just embrace God's grace and take this forgiveness for what it really is. We keep wanting to water it down or temper it. And, you know, God's amazing forgiveness is really what softens our hearts and leads to upright living, which is so ironic.
Yes, indeed. And I think we should just be like that paralytic guy. When Jesus tells us our sins are forgiven, we ought to believe it and rest in that and trust it and live like it's true, because it is true. Well, obviously, this has stirred some interest, and we've got quite a number of people waiting on the phone line with some questions about forgiveness. So let's go straight to Eric, listening to us on OnePlace.com in Madison, Wisconsin. Hi, Eric.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing great. Nice to hear from you, my friend.
Thank you. I just started recently listening to you guys. Really like the show. It's been very informative and definitely a different take on looking at the gospel.
Well, thank you. Glad you're tuned in.
Originally, I had a different question, but actually this question kind of popped up and it's a little bit more on my heart. But my question is there such things as generational curses, say your children being punished for past sins of the father or the mother?
Well, Eric, that's a really good question, and I think it raises another issue that we need to address, and that's the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. We see generational curses in the Old Covenant, but we're not in the Old Covenant. We're in the New Covenant. When Jesus died, his shed blood completed that Old Covenant. His death was the final payment for sins committed under that old covenant, and now he's ratified this new covenant, and it's this new covenant that we live in, and in this new covenant, the curse of the old has been broken, and that's good news. I mean, that is the gospel, so that none of us are under a curse. That cycle was broken in Christ once and for all. I know, Andrew, you get this question quite a bit, don't you?
Yeah, you know, generational curses are basically the idea of Christians asking today, am I cursed? Am I cursed? Or could I be cursed? And, you know, as I like to say quite often, you know, we're asking the wrong question. It's, am I blessed? I mean, not am I cursed, but am I blessed? Because, you know, we're told in Paul's writings and in the New Testament, because of this new covenant, we're told that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. So it's not just like we're sitting at a negative 10 being cursed and then we're brought to neutral at a zero. No, we're brought from negative 10 all the way to zero, and then we're brought to positive 10, blessed with every spiritual blessing. So, you know, when we say, am I cursed, we're really asking the wrong question. It's, do I know how blessed I am?
So, Eric, here's a passage for you, Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree, And he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. So, every person is born into a certain situation. That certain situation shapes and molds them. But at a point in time, every individual has the opportunity to respond to this good news of Jesus Christ. And when they respond to this good news of Jesus Christ, they are set free from their sin. They are set free from the law of sin and death, so that they can experience the fullness of life here and now. So that's the good news of the gospel, Eric.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that a lot.
Well, I'm sure glad you called. Wonderful question today. And we just encourage you to keep listening and tell a friend about the broadcast.
Will do.
Okay. Hey, thanks for your call, my friend. Let's go to Greenwich, Connecticut, and talk with Camille, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Camille.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello. Hi. Well, thank you. I listen to your show, and I really enjoy it. And I just have a question in regards to forgiveness. How do you know that you've been forgiven by God? Like, how do you know that you've been forgiven? Is it a feeling? How do you know?
Mm. Yeah, well, Camille, I think it comes down to a knowing. It's not a feeling. You know, John writes, he says, I write you these things so that you may know that you have eternal life. It's the same with forgiveness. We know that we're forgiven because God demonstrated it on the cross with the blood sacrifice. God demonstrated his love for us right there. So it's not a feeling. I mean, you know, many times I can wake up and I will feel unforgiven. I will feel dirty. I will feel distant. I'll have a bad day. My goodness, I could have a bad week or a bad month in some senses. And so you say, well, what do I do? Well, I have to just kind of refocus my thought life. I mean, my feelings can tell me all kinds of things, and the enemy can accuse me and tell me that I'm not forgiven and tell me that I'm distant from God or that God is angry with me. I mean, every Christian can get these thoughts, but they're lies. They're lies of the enemy. And the simple truth is that on that cross, Jesus Christ took away every single one of your sins. They are forgiven and they are forgotten. It's simple. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus died. So we do the math, and then we celebrate, we ignore the enemy, and we really can rest in the fact that you are a forgiven person. It's a knowing, not a feeling.
Okay, so once with something that is out of our nature, God's way of living, and we ask for forgiveness, then he automatically forgives us?
Well, the problem there is that, see, if it's about my asking, then, you know, what if I forget a sin? Or when I ask, I don't feel something in response. You know, 5 minutes after I ask, I don't feel different. So then I can allow error to creep in, and I start doubting my forgiveness. What we want you to know is that your forgiveness is not about your asking. You don't have to ask for forgiveness. It's a blood sacrifice on that cross that makes you a forgiven person. So you're forgiven even if you don't remember every sin you've ever committed. You don't have to try to remember them all and try to ask about all of them. It's Jesus' blood that makes you forgiven, not your asking. Does that help?
Yes, it really does. And I have one more question, if you don't mind. Why is it that when you do go through things that are kind of detrimental, like some would say, well, it had to happen. It was like prophesied to have happened, things that are hard to get over. Because I know everything is not perfect, but I believe everything good is from God. So when something detrimental happens, mm-hmm. Why does it have to happen? Is it prophesied to happen?
Yeah, I don't think we want to go around saying that everything is prophesied to happen, because, you know, sometimes there's things in this world like rape and and like murder and all kinds of crime. And, you know, there are results of the fall. And when Adam sinned, sin entered the world and bad things started to happen. So God uses those things, and God is bigger than those things, and God counsels me through those things, but he is not the author of those things. God is never the author of sin, and he's never the author of evil. Even though he allows it to happen, he wants better for us. So we got to be careful when we say everything is God or put a God stamp on everything. That can lead to down a dangerous road.
Okay.
Well, Camille, let me do this for you. Let me put you on hold. We have a wonderful little resource called Forgiveness, the Door to Life. I want to send that to you as our compliments, and you read through it, and I think it will even deepen your newfound knowledge of this forgiveness that you have in Christ. And the good news is that all the prophets testify that everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So, Camille, the moment you believed in Jesus, the moment you received him, you received the total and complete forgiveness of sins. And just learn to rest in that, and boy, it'll change your life forever. Well, you hold on, Camille. We'll get this booklet to you, okay? Thanks so much for your call. Well, let's go to Yorktown and talk with Dominique, listening to us on WMCA as well. Hi, Dominique.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great, thank you.
Yeah, my question is, I read somewhere we were told to confess our sins to each other. I forgot what scripture that was, and I didn't quite understand what it meant.
Well, Dominic, it's a passage out of the book of James, and it's in light of, heartaches and things that we experience in relationships. Well, if we want those relationships to be healed, we take the initiative and confess sins to one another, and that starts the healing process. So it's important within relationships. I mean, if you want a healthy marriage, if you want a strong marriage, forgiveness is going to be a part of that, isn't it? And the reason you forgive is so that the relationship can be strengthened, and y'all can continue to grow together and learn to love each other in even deeper ways. So if we're prideful and arrogant and aren't willing to speak truth and say truth and lay out what the problem is within a relationship, we're never going to get healing. So when it says to confess your sins to one another, that's to heal the relationship, to bring true reconciliation. We see that a lot in church splits. There's a lot of things that go on when churches split. And there's a lot of anger, and there's a lot of just bitterness that creeps in. Well, how are you going to heal that? Well, the first step is to say, hey, you know, I blew it here, and I'm sorry, and let's try to figure this out. So that's what it's talking about. It's one to another, and that's important in all relationships.
Okay, I have a better understanding of that now. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Thanks for your call, my friend. Well, let's go out to Eugene, Oregon, and talk to Rachel, listening to us on KORE. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. Good afternoon.
And
I just wanted to give a plug for the Bible, that God wrote a first-class book, the Bible, and the language of the King James Bible was carried from continent to continent from the British Empire. And the these and thous that are...
Well, Rachel, let's not hold up a translation and worship it. God inspired those men to write in Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic. That was the original language of the Bible. The King James Version came 1,500 years later, so there's no need for us to hold that up and worship it. And furthermore, Rachel, if we're going to truly understand what the Word of God means, whether we're reading a German translation, a Russian translation, a Hebrew translation, or an English translation, we're going to have to rely on the Spirit of God to reveal the meaning to us. when Peter stood and answered the question that Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus looked right at him and said, "This truth was revealed to you by my Father." And so that sets a principle for us that spiritual knowledge comes through spiritual revelation. That's why God gave us the Spirit of God, to reveal to us the meaning of the Word of God and to bring us into a deep understanding of this love and grace that we have in Christ Jesus. So, Rachel, yeah. I appreciate your love. Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, this is really an interesting topic. It keeps kind of resurfacing over the years. And when you think about worldwide missions, I mean, being in linguistics myself, I study languages, I look at how things are translated. I mean, if we were to say that the King James is the be-all and end-all, it would pretty much shut down worldwide missions, because the moment you translate King James English into Spanish and then into German and then into Russian and you try to do mission work with it, well, you know, ultimately you're going to have a different set of words and a different terms used in those translations. So the whole thing really, really breaks down, and it's sad to see. I mean, we want to praise the original manuscripts and say, "Wow, thank you, God, for these." And then we want to recognize that, you know, human translators who are converting things from language to language to language, they're not God, and there is no perfect version of the Bible.
Well, Rachel, we sure appreciate your call and sure appreciate your love for the Word of God. That's quite inspirational. So thanks for your call today. Well, let's move to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Eugene listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Eugene.
Hey, grace and peace to my fellow co-workers in Christ. How you guys doing today?
Doing fantastic. Always great to hear from you, my fellow co-worker.
Okay, I'm just going to ask a question, and I'll hang up to get you guys' response, okay? Well, my wife, she left the marriage and got in another relationship, and my question is on forgiveness. Even though I did tell her that I forgave her, in my heart, I don't have that. I still have anger and stuff. And my question is, it's been already 2 years, but my question is it the Holy Spirit that could bring this kind of forgiveness for us? Because I know Christ preaching is we have to forgive. So, but I'm thinking that this, being that we have the Holy Spirit now, is it the Holy Spirit that's going to help me get this kind of forgiveness? Because I don't think that I can obtain it myself if I say I forgive a person, but in my heart I truly don't. I don't want to be a liar. So I'll just take you guys' answer. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, I feel that, you know, first of all, we got to move away from the idea that I have to forgive. And really, I want to see the longing of my heart. I mean, your heart is now a forgiving heart. You've got that new heart where Christ lives, and he's motivating you, and you want to forgive. And so it is different than just some, you know, blanket statement of "I forgive you," and there's no thought behind it. Maybe the Holy Spirit is leading you to a better understanding of what forgiveness is, where you release someone and let them off the hook, where you make the choice about them, the same choice that God made about you. You say, "This hurt me, it angers me, I feel betrayed, I feel rejected, but I choose to forgive you and release you from anything you owe me. Even if you do it again, I'm letting you off the hook." And it's that attitude that is really the longing of your heart, because you've got a new heart in Christ.
Well, Eugene, hope that helps, and we sure appreciate your call today. Let me put you on hold, and we'll see if we can send some resources to you that can help you as well in this endeavor. But you hang on, Eugene. Thanks so much for your call. And certainly want to remind our listeners that Basic Gospel is listener-supported. And when we're asking you to support Basic Gospel, we're asking you to invest in a person's life. Are you interested in the souls of your neighbors and friends? An investment in the gospel, in Basic Gospel, can bring salvation to one of those friends. So when you give generously so that others can come to know Jesus in a personal way.
Absolutely. And this month, of course, for your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, you're going to receive Bob Christopher's message called "In the Love of God." It's the most secure place in existence, but many of us never find our way there. the love of God, the journey begins at the cross, and there the ground is saturated with God's love. To make your gift and request your copy of In the Love of God, visit basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.